At 7 o'clock, I will now call the meeting to order. I would like to call this meeting. We have now three public meetings being held tonight according to the Planning Act. The first meeting will regard the application of the proposed draft plan, condominium Mattamy Southfields Limited, Abigail Crescent, north side of Fun Ridge Road, east of Learmont Avenue, Ward 2. The second application will be regarding the application for the proposed official plan amendment, 16793 Mount Wolf Road, east side of Mount Wolf, south of Hunston Side Road, Ward 4. The third meeting tonight will be regarding the application of proposed draft plan subdivision and zoning bylaw amendment, Mount Pleasant Road, zero Mount Pleasant Road, east side of Mount Pleasant Road, south of Highway 9, Ward 4. The purpose of the public meetings tonight is to gather input from the public concerning applications. Any members of the public who have written concerns or appeals dealing with the application being heard should be directed to the town clerk's office. Any interested persons wishing further notification regarding any of the applications are advised to clearly print their name and address on the notification list on the table at the entrance of the council chamber, which is just outside the door. Following the presentations, members of the public will be invited to approach the podium, stating their name and address to provide their comments. We're asked the members to publicly or of the public to clearly state their name and address for public record, as everything here is recorded. If you have a presentation of material that you wish to provide, a copy to the recording secretary at the desk to your left. Unfortunately, we've got an issue, so the clerk here will be taking anything that goes forward, or our town planners will be helping with that tonight. Please note that any information submitted this evening will be part of the town's record. Following the public comments, members of council will be invited to ask questions to the presenter regarding the information contained with the presentation. Please note, the members of council are here to listen, not to provide an opinion or a comment or debate on the matter. They're only here to listen or ask for clarification on questions or statements being made. I will now ask for our first one. I will ask Brendan Ward, Senior Development Planner for the Town of Caledon, to confirm the notification was conducted in accordance with the Planning Act for the public meeting.
That's correct, Mayor Thompson. Notice was served to residents within 120 meters of the subject property on October 1st, and notice is also advertised in the Caledon Citizen and Caledon Enterprise newspapers on that date as well.
Thank you, Mr. Ward. I will now call on Mr. Melganovsky to begin his presentation.
Perfect. Is that better?
Yeah.
I'm just going to give a brief presentation on our plan of condominium application tonight, and I'll be here to answer any questions that you may have or members of the public may have. I'll go through this very quickly. The block in question is block 125 of registered plan 43M 1978, which is part of the Southfields 3 Community Inc. Stage 2 development, located kind of in the eastern portion of Mayfield West. Block 125 has frontage on Fawn Ridge Road, and it's located in between Learmont Avenue and Bonnie Glen Farm Boulevard. As I've noted up here, site plan approval was granted by the town on August 17, 2015. We went through the whole site plan application and approval process with multiple submissions addressing comments before reaching site plan approval, and we filed our plan of condominium application in early August of 2015. Just quickly, the site plan is a 56-unit townhouse development. The townhouses are 6 meters wide, which is 20 feet. The depths range generally from about 98 feet to 105. And the product is consistent with what Monarch and now Mattamy has built previously within the Mayfield West area. The plan of condominium application that's before you tonight is for a common element condominium. The common elements within the plan, I'm just going to skip that. Here's a site plan. Are the laneway, which is Abigail Crescent, at 7.8 meters wide, a 1.5 meter sidewalk. There's three parking areas for visitor parking, as well as a couple of common areas that contain walkways, benches. There's a shade structure as well as a mailbox area. And that's pretty much what defines the application tonight, which is the condominium application and the common elements within this site plan. That's pretty much what I just said. And that's really the end of the presentation. If you have any questions, just please let me know.
Okay. Thank you, Matt. Thank you very much. Are there any comments from the members of the public that that wish to come forward? Please state your name and address. Okay. I don't see anybody from the public. Is there anybody from council? I don't see anybody from council that has questions for this, so thank you very much, and I declare this meeting concluded. Doing both? You're doing both of them? I think we've got to do them individually, separately. So what we're going to do is we're going to go to the third one first.
Is this the right one?
Yeah. Yes, it's listed third. Well, we have a lot. Generally, what we do is we move it around, and generally, the most contentious ones we do get those out of the way first. And yeah.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
Could I ask if they were expecting other people to come, and by moving it ahead, we are not allowing for that opportunity?
Well, everything was set at 7 o'clock. Yeah. So. Do you have other people coming? All right. Well, you can change the other one around. That's fine. If you got people coming, that's fine. Yeah, that's fine. Okay. Okay. Now, Minister, before you get going, I have to go through a process here. So we'll move to our next application to be heard this evening. I will now ask Mary Nordstrom, Senior Development Planner for the Town of Calgary, to confirm the notification was conducted in accordance to the Planning Act for this public meeting tonight.
That's correct, Mayor Thompson.
Thank you, Ms. Nordstrom. I will now call on Mr. Kennedy to please come forward and make your presentation.
Shall I try again?
That's better.
A planner of some ill repute at KLM Planning Partners, Inc. There are two applications before you tonight, one being a draft plan of subdivision, 21T95027C. The 95, just so everybody understands, is the year the application was submitted. We're now in 2015, so it's some 20 years. And a zoning bylaw amendment application. Now, I'm not criticizing anybody here at the municipality because these applications have not been properly processed on the client's part either. So no criticisms. We're going forward in an appropriate manner. The site is on the north side of the Caledon Rail Trail, east side of Mount Pleasant Road, just north of the CPR, a little bit south of Highway 9, as you can see in the context plan. A little more detail. The lands are in Lordy, Lordy, Liberty. Predominantly in policy area 3, I think a little bit of policy area 4 at the very southwest edge of the plan. We have 42 estate lots, 4 blocks for reforestation, an intermittent stream corridor, retention basin, and streets approximating 4 hectares. The plan itself has, I wish our graphics were a little better when it gets to this point in the program, but we have tried hard to respond to comments that we have received from your staff in terms of the configuration of the lots, the shape and size of the lots to make them more rectangular and more regular in shape. And we are protecting the, there's a woodlot on the eastern, I wish I had a pointer on this thing. There's a woodlot on the eastern portion of the lands that has a has its buffer built into it, and we have some reforestation lands in there. The zoning bylaw amendment would zone the lands as RE, rural estate, with an exception, and then the lands that are shown cross-hatched on this plan at this point in time would be zoned as natural area to be protected. The structural envelopes are shown in the within the heavier black lines. And that, Mr. Mayor, is my presentation.
Okay.
I'm available to answer questions as you require.
Okay.
And I think you suggested I should sit here.
Yeah, that would be fine. Are there any comments from the members of the public that are here tonight? And if there are, please step forward to the podium and clearly state your name and address, as it's for the public record.
Name is John Curry, that's K-U-R-I, and representing the adjacent property 17196 Mount Wolf Road.
Yes.
I'm just asking, with regards to the presentation, and maybe just further explain what you mean by the buffer zone reforestation and what you're planning along that border between the subject property and the property to the, I guess it would be to the east.
Yeah. He doesn't have that on the amended system, does he?
No,
oh,
I don't.
Sorry, yeah. So... yeah, I'm just curious on this area here where you've gone through the, you're planning to do some reforestation and some and protect that area. Just curious what's happening along this border zone right here.
There's an existing woodlot along the eastern edge of the property, which because it's in the Oak Ridges Moraine requires a 30-meter buffer, which we're providing. We're providing that on the lots because... neither the town nor the
conservation
credit val- no not TRC credit not Osaga Valley Conservation want to take the lands into public ownership, so we're keeping them on the lots. They will be zoned, I think, based on the discussions we've had with staff in a couple of other areas. I think we may be looking at zoning them with both an EPA zoning and a natural area zoning, which prohibits development within that area. These lots are because we've managed to kind of reconfigure this to make them more rectangular, the definition and the boundaries between what is natural area or EPA will be easier to define.
and part of the reforestation program will deal with that. So we have a variety of reforestation techniques planned for this site, some of which is grassland, some of which is savanna, some of which is forest replanting. So it's a mix of the three.
Okay. And I guess one other question is this area down here hasn't been. Can you describe what's going on in that area?
Where did you get the laser?
Oh, I pushed the little button in the middle.
Right in the middle.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Thank you. What's happening on this site is different than we've done in most areas. We're doing low-impact development systems. Part of that will be infiltration galleries for stormwater that comes off the roads in the boulevards. And at the end of that, that retention basin will be the outlet for the storm system. And because of the permeability of the soils here, we expect that that water will disappear into the ground.
Okay.
We're not anticipating building a storm pond that's going to be permanently full of water. We expect this to be essentially a dry basin most of the time. I mean, we get a major storm, it'll be there for a day or so, and then I expect it's going to disappear. That's certainly the approach we've been taking to this particular plan, and I'm quite excited about this, so I don't get excited about much, Al.
So there's no runoff from the development area, and the only reason I'm asking is that I do know spring runoff comes through a creek area that's on this side of the property, so there would be no runoff from here back onto this onto the other side of the railway tracks, and then
I don't at this point in time I don't believe so. We don't have all of the details quite worked out yet. We're at a zoning bylaw and dry
plan
subdivision. We haven't
got
to detailed engineering design, although we're a long way down the road in this process because we've done a lot of work to get where we are.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. My pleasure.
Thank you. Anybody else from the public that wish to come forward?
Cheryl Connors, 16851 Mount Wolf Road. I have a question. Section 1.2.6.1 of the 2014 provincial policy statement talks about land use compatibility. Major facilities and sensitive land uses should be planned to ensure that they are appropriately designed, buffered, and are separated from each other to prevent or mitigate adverse effects from odor, noise, and other contaminants, minimize risk to public health and safety, and to ensure the long-term viability of major facilities. I'm just wondering why we're putting houses next to railroad tracks, because anyone in a planning 101 course in school would know that you're not buffering them from the railroad tracks. There's without the gate on Mount Wolf Road, there's horns that sound, so you get the noise pollution. But all of the studies on what is actually being transported on those CP rail lines, if there ever was a derailment and you've got houses that close, and I'm just curious as to what the planning decision is behind this, because I don't understand it.
Your Worship, these lands are designated in the Town of Caledon's official plan for estate residential. They have been for many years. I suspect probably preceding the current provincial policy statement. We have had a noise report prepared that supports the development of these lots adjoining, backing onto the railway. And in fact, they don't back onto the railway; they back onto the rail trail. The rail trail separates the two. And as a planner, I'm completely confident that there is no issue here.
Richard Allison, 16627 Mount Wolf Road. Yeah. Quick question. Does this development propose wells and or septic tanks and water? What's there?
We are in negotiations with the Region of Peel to try to resolve the extension of the water main system to this development. And the balance is on septic. So there's no sewers up here.
Okay. So that's just, you're saying it's a funny answer. So you are planning to bring pipe water in?
The Region of Peel has asked us to extend a water main from, is it Mount Hope that's the one concession west of here? Yeah. Along Hunson Road to the site.
Okay.
And we are trying to negotiate with the Region of Peel how whomever else might connect to this system is going to pay their share.
Okay. So just curious. It relates to the other subject.
So basically we're going to have municipal water. They just got to figure out how to make it work.
It just relates to the other plot site that's coming up soon because more wells. So.
Yeah. No, good question. Any other questions from the public? Okay. Questions of council? Councillor Shaughnessy?
Thank you. Can I ask of our staff a question of our
yeah.
staff? Great. He says he's completed a noise study, but I see it requires a resubmission. Has it been resubmitted to you, the noise study? And the other one, so there's a number of studies that are required on a resubmission.
Through you, Mayor Thompson. Yes, so we have identified that a number of studies need to be revised, and we've identified that a noise report needs to be peer-reviewed. So we are awaiting a further submission, but a peer review of the noise study will occur in due time.
Okay, so I just want to be clear that he has to resubmit the noise, and then you're also going to have it peer-reviewed, correct?
For you, Mayor Thompson, correct.
Okay, just want to be clear. And then, I mean, the gentleman had an interesting, no, it was actually, the lady had an interesting observation about being close to the railroad tracks. Do we have a particular distance we have to stay back from the railroad tracks by the, I know we have difficulty getting gates out leading to railroad tracks, entrances, et cetera. Does the railroad industry require a certain setback that we have to follow?
Mm-hmm. Through you, Mayor Thompson, yes, they do. It's typically 30 meters is the setback requirement, as well the CPR was circulated on this application as well, so their input on this is part of the review process of this plan.
Hey, Councillor Misipelli.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Two quick questions for myself. The I believe it was called the environmental zone, which forms part of the lots, but is protected. The question I have is, are there any permitted uses that the landowners will have access to in those environmental zones? Are they entirely protected from any type of use? Like, obviously, passive use, they would be able to utilize it, but there wouldn't be any development opportunities, like landscaping, that type of thing?
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. So the natural areas, just to clarify, we're speaking of the natural areas in the rear of the lots?
Correct, sorry.
So the natural areas do have very restrictive provisions in the zoning bylaw that would prevent landowners from constructing any grading, constructing any structures, even mowing is not permitted. So it's intended to stay in its natural reforested state.
Okay. And I understand that the town and the Conservation Authority don't wish to assume it, so they will remain in private ownership, yet very, almost absolutely restricted in their use. Is the intent to actually fence the line between the... I forgot what you called it, naturalized area and the balance of this the lots, or will they be fully accessible?
Through you, Mayor Thompson, typically we only fence between private and public lands, so the naturalized area is not typically fenced.
Okay.
it remains
open. Do staff have any concern that we will, because it will be, for all well, it will be part of their property, just very restricted. Any concerns that the restrictions imposed will be difficult to enforce without any separation?
Through you, Mayor Thompson, that's a, it's a difficult question to ask. It's a good question, but it's a difficult one to answer because the way, if there's any, all of these lots are after they're built, if there's anything that the landowners wish to do to those lots, pool or gazebo or what have you, any of the structures of that nature, they are required to come in for an ORM scope site plan review. And we would be looking to ensure that there is no grading or no structures happening within the naturalized area. So as long as anything that's being done is requires a building permit or a site plan, a norm site plan, then we will be able to monitor and ensure that the naturalized area remains protected.
Okay, but certainly there'll be strong language in their agreements that would state that that is restricted as far as permitted uses.
You, Mayor Thompson, correct. That's a standard condition for our Palgrave Estates that that wording be provided in the agreements of purchase and sale.
Okay, thank you. The last question I have is similarly to Councillor Shaughnessy's about, and I did read the report and the number of comments and further work that has to be done, reports provided. If that has a significant impact to the site plan, does that trigger another public meeting, or is this basically it and this just all has to be undertaken?
Well, through you, Mayor Thompson, it would depend on the magnitude of the change to the plan. So okay. Minor changes to the plan, there would be it would be set out in the council report at a future date, but any major changes we can certainly hold another public meeting, but it wouldn't be required under the Planning Act.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Councillor Downey.
Thank you, through you, Mayor Thompson. Thank you, Mr. Kennedy, for your presentation. I'm wondering if you could describe the difference between the low-density stormwater management in comparison to something that we'd see in a kind of typical subdivision, maybe like in Southfield Village or the south end of Caledon. I know you're really excited about it.
I'm happy to try to do that. The last time I tried to explain storm drainage to a municipal council was in Thorold a number of years ago, and the council meeting was being broadcast on cable TV, and 10 minutes after I started, I had somebody show up giving me no end of grief about what I was suggesting, but
well, maybe you could just tell us what
typically,
the advantages are.
Typically, if you were to go, for example, into your ward, Councillor Downey, the storm ponds typically contain water all the time. There's water in them all the time, and they're treated around the edges. The approach that we believe we can accomplish here, and I'm quite confident of this because of the soil conditions, is that we're going to get it'd be like a French drain along the boulevards where you've got a trench pipe in the bottom, granular material on top. The water goes in, and it. Ultimately, the intent is for it to infiltrate back into the ground, and I don't believe we will have any significant water sitting in this retention basin for any significant period of time. It should be basically dry most of the time, through you, your worship, to Councillor Downey.
Okay. Okay. There's no further. You're not on the board.
She wasn't either.
Yes, she was.
Oh. There, then.
Okay.
Go for it. Okay. Nottasaga Valley staying the commenting agency on here for the CAs? Yes?
That's correct.
In this case? Is the streetscape going to be curb and gutter then to feed, to drain to this dry storm pond? Or going with a ditch system?
I think we're, through your worship to Councillor DeBoer, I think we're on a roll curb.
Okay.
Let's the water hit over and get back into the swale, but I don't want to be committed to that because I'm not 100% sure tonight.
Okay. One other question. I didn't see it here, but I imagine there's a hydro G study that's going to happen and be peer reviewed.
We have done the hydro G, and I believe it has to be peer reviewed. Yes.
And is there any well monitoring for the properties in the area that are on private wells? Would there be a well monitoring program for any of those?
The Region of Peel requires well monitoring in every subdivision application.
Okay. And for people that are in the area, they have to give approval to allow for the monitoring to happen, correct? Yeah.
Again, you're asking me a question that's outside of, generally speaking,
yes.
Outside of my jurisdiction.
Just say yes.
Yes.
So that's important for the residents to know that are in the area that they do have to approve, and they will be asked to approve of access to their wells. Okay, that's good. Thank you very much.
Okay. I don't see any further questions on the board. So thank you very much, Mr. Kennedy. And since there's no further comments, I will declare this part of the public meeting closed. Sure.
Sorry, Josie Simone, 37 Maybe Drive. I just want clarification. Mr. DeBoer, you were talking about wells, but we were talking about this being on town water. You were talking about well monitoring in this subdivision of the surrounding areas. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's make sure we got it all right. So there's no further questions. We'll close this meeting. We will now move on to our next application to be heard this evening. I will now ask Mary Nordstrom, Senior Development Planner, for the Town of Caledon to confirm that the notification was conducted in accordance with the Planning Act for this public meeting.
That's correct, Mayor Thompson.
Thank you, Ms. Nordstrom. Now I'll call on Mr. Kennedy to come and make his presentation.
I won't repeat my introduction from the last time, so here I am. Your Worship, members of council, this is an application to amend Caledon's official plan. The purpose of the amendment, first of all, the lands subject to the amendment are on Mount Wolf Road. Keep going forward, fast forward. And the lands are designated as partly policy area 3 and partly policy area 2 and a little bit of policy area 4. The primary function of the, and we put together a concept plan for this, but this is not part of this application. I want to be perfectly clear about that. This plan is only put together to provide some kind of context as to where the client would like to go, ultimately. But the primary purpose of this application is to permit the lands to be serviced with private wells and private septic systems, whereas the current official plan whereas the current official plan requires the lands to be serviced on municipal water and private septic systems. So that is the primary purpose of this amendment. We have prepared a detailed hydrogeological study that indicates that there's sufficient water in the area to service these lots. And the subject lands, as you can see, are here. And I believe, Your Worship, we get to the guts of it here with the comments from the residents. You don't need to hear any more from me.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Are there any comments from the members of the public here tonight? Please step forward to the podium and clearly state your name and address, as it is for public record.
Hello, Shannon Lenormand, 25 Mamie Drive, Blackhorse Village Estates. Just a question. When we built in Blackhorse, which is the subdivision you can see just south of the proposed plan amendment lot, we were told that we were on a sensitive aquifer and there was not enough water to take any more private wells. So if this goes through, I would want some kind of guarantee that my well is not going to run dry, because I have no other source of water. Okay. So I just want these hydrological studies, they seem to differ from the ones that we've had done in past years.
Mr. Kennedy?
Your Worship, again, I'm not an engineer, as you well know. I have to rely on other professionals to provide us with advice and recommendations, and as do you, and as do any other approval authorities, such as the Ontario Municipal Board or anybody else that this might get to. And I'd just like to, you know, what I have is a study that's approaching an inch thick, the conclusions of which say that groundwater supply is available from the overburdened aquifer in the area. The water supply will be sufficient for individual homes as currently proposed. Sewage disposal by conventional septic systems is feasible and will not impact the shallow aquifer system at the site. And groundwater function at the site can be generally maintained through simple stormwater management techniques. Having said that, we haven't got to the final details here. This is we've approached this in a two-step process deliberately to deal with the official plan amendment first, and then we'll get to the level of detail that I had in the previous application in terms of the plan of subdivision and storm drainage and all of those typical issues. This is signed by two professional engineers, and I have to rely on it. And so,
sorry, may I ask what the date is that this report was done on?
I'm sorry?
When was this report?
This report
done?
Is dated December 2014.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify, because I'm on wells, and I know that the water pressure of our wells is not significant. I've seen issues with it in the past, and if I just want some kind of guarantee that I'm not going to lose my water.
Yep.
That's all. Thank you.
That's valid. Thank you.
Richard Allison, 1672 Mount Wolf Road. A lot of people are here because of this well thing, obviously. I'm going to overstate it. One thing that bothers me is these, and I don't know if the study does this or not, but if you look at this in isolation, there may very well be enough water for 30 houses or whatever. The recent ruling by the province to allow Brock to go below the water table in a pit just up the road from there, and other things going on in the neighborhood, I mean, are these things taken into consideration as well? I mean, like again, the water study may say this is fine for these 30 houses, not taking into consideration what's going on in the pits up the road. So two things, you know, they're going below the water table there, which is going to hurt our wells, and this. So my question to you is this taken in isolation and looking only at this particular site, or taken into consideration other factors like the pit that's going in that could make this thing null and void, if, for example, if you took the pit into consideration? That's all.
Again, Your Worship, you know I'm not an engineer, but I've been doing this for 50 years. And when I look around Caledon, every gravel pit I look at is full of water. Mm-hmm. So that tells me that it's like a bathtub. You dig a hole and the water fills up. It doesn't draw down. That's my sense of it.
I'm not an engineer.
I'm just giving you my opinion.
I'm giving you facts, too. People who lived in that area before I lived there in the 80s lost their wells when Brock dug the pit deeper last time. And they haven't been there for a number of years, so it's come back. But on my question was, I guess three stated, does the study take into consideration other things going on in the area that could also affect? So maybe alone this is fine. You add this with the Brock pit, maybe it's not fine. That was the question.
Yeah.
Comment.
Thank you.
I don't have an answer to that.
Just so you know, sir, these comments all have to be addressed that are asked tonight. So because Mr. Kennedy doesn't have the answer, it's on public record, and these all have to be answered before it comes to council.
My name is Willow Stetler. I live at 10764 Halls Lake Side Road, which is below Black Horse Subdivision. I'm on to my second well. My water, every time there's any kind of development north of me, my water quality deteriorates. I've had to replace equipment, appliances, water softeners. Now, I have talked to this gentleman before, and I still am concerned for my quality of water and my quantity. And it's fine if they say there's enough water for 24 or 25 houses up there. Then we've got the subdivision there, and then they've got me. And I've lived here for 40 years, and I've just seen the water go down. And I just want to go on record saying that I'm concerned for my water. Thank you.
Anybody else from the public?
My name is Janet Manning. I'm at 16777 Mount Wolf Road. I'm in that little humble rectangle that is going to be surrounded by this subdivision. I obviously have concerns about the water as well. I have looked at the official plan. I think it's well measured. It looks like it's well researched. It seems strange to me that you would take something, I'm sure a lot of money and time was put into developing that plan, that you would at this stage change it for a situation to have a development at this point. I understand that estate developments will take place in this area. That's not the issue. The issue is trying to amend something that must have been very well thought out of at the time.
Thank you. Okay. Anybody else?
Am I limited to the number of questions I can ask?
No.
Awesome.
You got to state your name and address, please.
Cheryl Connors, 16851 Mount Wolf Road. I've written some down here. I just have a general question on planning, that the town previously borrowed 1,500 people in the Palgrave Estate population allocation and directed it to Bolton. How many people are currently designated for the Palgrave Estate residential population? And is the town ahead or behind the projected population numbers?
Ms. Nordstrom.
Through you, Mayor Thompson, I would need to speak with our policy staff about population allocation for Palgrave Estates, but they have policy. Our policy department was circulated on the application and didn't raise a concern with respect to population allocation for this application, which is only an official plan amendment at the time, but or any other of the estate residential subdivisions in Palgrave Estates.
Are there any formal mechanisms in place to manage growth in an area reliant on septic and wells?
Ms. Nordstrom, I guess.
Sorry, can I hear the question again? I'm sorry.
Are there any mechanisms in place to manage growth in an area reliant on septic and wells? So is there anything special going on here when we don't have an alternate town water source?
So the application that's here tonight is seeking to put in private wells because estate residential subdivisions in Palgrave are required to proceed on municipal water. And there are the secondary plan for Palgrave Estates does set out density limits for each of the designated areas for estate residential development. So that does control the growth at a larger level.
So the mechanism in place to control growth is that any new development has to be on town water, not on wells. Is that correct? That's what the official plan says.
Yes, through Mayor Thompson, that's correct, and that's why the applicant is here seeking an amendment to the official plan.
What would the town do if the wells became compromised, water levels and or supply?
Ms. Norsen.
Mayor Thompson. For any subdivision in Palgrave Estates and beyond, it's a standard condition of the region to monitor, to hold securities and ensure that any impact to neighboring wells is monitored and that the developer at the time be required to provide any short-term or long-term solutions for wells in the area, but that is a standard requirement for any subdivision that moves forward.
So when all the wells dried up, when the pit, which wasn't run by Brock, was running in the 80s, not a single well was replaced. So as I'm the little L shape, and then that's me, and if all those houses go on wells and my well dries up, what am I going to do? What would the process be? Because I think I'd probably end up having to go to court at my own expense and have to hire very expensive hydrologists to try to prove that it had anything to do with the development that was allowed to go in on wells. The onus of proof would be on me, and I'd have to spend probably more on lawyers and hydrogeologists to ever try to prove that it had anything to do with the development.
Ms. Nordstrom?
Thank you. The regional condition that I spoke to earlier is put in place to protect neighbors in the zone of influence, and they would be contacting the region, and the onus would be on the developer to monitor what that impact is and how to rectify it.
Okay, so I would like to go on record as to what my concern is, and I'd also like to say that I'm also a spokesperson for Protect Caledon, which is a residential group formed because we didn't feel that we have adequate representation from our elected officials. But what we learned yesterday is that when laws are broken, as they have been with the site plan amendment violating Oak Ridge's marine legislation, the town will not come to the assistance of the residents. So in this case, I have every reason to believe that if this created huge problems for us and our wells, we would, as residents, be on our own and be forced to cash in our RSPs and use our children's tuition, university education savings plans to pay for lawyers to fight to uphold the laws that are in existence. So that's my one of my concerns, because I now have the history of what happens when you come to this town for help when laws are broken. So I think all my neighbors should be aware that we will be on our own if anything happens to our wells, because we've been left out to dry with the error of law that allowed that site plan amendment to go below the water when it's explicitly prohibited. So my other question is, are you aware that this is the highest vulnerability aquifer designation in the Oak Ridge's Marine Conservation Plan?
No.
Awesome.
not the only one, but
Can someone explain to me what that designation means when it's designated as highest vulnerability aquifer?
We don't have an answer for that question tonight.
Thank you. So will someone get back with an answer? Okay. Awesome. And then I would generally like to say, are you aware of the great number of problems that have occurred in Black Horse with because of the proximity to wells and septic and the nature of the soil here, that numerous residents have had problems with E. coli in their water, problems with quality, quantity of water?
Well results I have in this Hydro-G report, there are four wells that were examined, two on site and two elsewhere, and there's no E. coli in any of them.
Where were the two elsewhere?
23 Mavi Drive and 29 Mavi Drive.
Are well records, when they have E. coli results, when they get bad results, are they on the public record?
They are if they're tested by the if they're tested, the Region Appeal has a record of that.
Okay, so has anyone looked at the testing records for this neighborhood and how often that's happened?
No, it's only if the people notify.
So they're not public then? They're not public records?
Private wells, I'm not sure.
Okay.
I can't answer that.
I was wondering, because I'm personally aware of many of our neighbors who have had problems with E. coli and other bacteria in their wells within the community. And then I would just like to say, because we lived there before Black Horse was built, how much our water pressure changed after all the wells went in Black Horse. So I certainly wouldn't want to see additional wells put in. And then my final question is, does the Town of Caledon or the Region of Peel have, because I've been told by Councillor Nick DeBoer that the town and region wouldn't be supporting this application because of the private well situation. Is that correct?
We can't give, council's not allowed to give an opinion until we've heard all the results coming in, and tonight this is part of the public record. Ms. Nordstrom?
Through you, Mayor Thompson, there is a public information meeting report available online that provides an overview of the comments that we've received to date, including Peel Region's comments that are not supportive of the proposed policy change.
So Peel Region has said they're not supporting? But the Town of Caledon has not said whether they're supporting or not supporting?
The town staff are waiting for the peer review of the hydrogeology report to be completed before a summary of our comments are provided to the applicant. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, and I missed because I got an urgent call outside, a very sick friend. When was the hydrogeology report conducted, and did that involve drilling a well? Because I don't know how I didn't see it happen next door to me. Usually you notice things like that. Did you actually drill test wells on the property?
There are two wells existing on the property. And the others, I can't tell you.
Okay, thank you.
It was December of 14 when the report was done. You asked that question.
So they just used the existing wells, which are the farmhouse, I assume, which would be close to the road, not back in the property at all. So they're not.
I don't know the answer to that, which wells were used.
Okay.
Any other questions from the public?
Roger, 35 Maybe Drive. Okay. I had a couple concerns that were touched on. My main concern is my own water, but one would be the study. If it was just in that area, which it looks like, there's a lot of other stuff going on, like the pit being one of them, and I'm not sure if I'd want to know if all that is taken into consideration, not just the subject property. Yeah. And then I'd asked earlier, like, why it is in the official plan to have municipal water and not, like, so obviously it's being studied, it's there to protect, like, my property and everybody else's property, including the subject property. Like, a lot of studies have been done, and it's come to the fact that let's do that from a point on. Why we're amending that now, it's, or what's proposed, like, the main reason here is really to save some money in the development, but it's putting at risk everybody else's water welfare, like, in my opinion, just to say. So we're risking to save a little bit of money in the development, the future, everybody here, and then the future of future development too. Like, so we bend the rules here, and then, you know, it keeps going for what, just to reduce the development costs a little bit. It's kind of a big risk. I just wanted to say that.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, my name is Adrian Clayway. I'm at 10261 Highway 9, Caledon. I was originally here for the middle presentation.
Right.
I stayed for this one out of interest. But all these people have a very good point about the water. There's laws there to protect everyone here. And with the Graham subdivision to the west of me now, and the other proposed subdivision to the south of me, I think the town of Caledon would be setting a very bad precedent by allowing this. Mm-hmm. And I'm concerned for all the other subdivisions surrounding me now. And, you know, the rules are there, and they need to be obeyed. So,
thank you. Thank you very much. Any other?
I just wanted to put
you
on the
name.
Cheryl Connors, 16851 Mount Wolf Road, but I'm actually speaking on behalf of the late Richard Whitehead in an email that he sent to me on March 9th, 2013. Cheryl, I will not support a change in town or regional policy that will permit new estate residential subdivisions in the Palgrave estate area being approved for private wells. Some of the reasons are exposing the area to more private wells creates more access points to the upper aquifers of the Oak Ridges Moraine and exposes the groundwater system to greater risks of pollution and depletion of the available water supply. The practice is inconsistent to the general objectives of preserving and protecting of the Oak Ridges Moraine while permitting further development of the area served by a pipe municipal water owned and operated by the Region of Peel. Provincial policy requires that when three or more lots are created in a plan of subdivision, that these lots must be serviced by a communal water system and not private wells. Peel opposes private communal systems, believing that the only groundwater system that will be safe and sustainable over time is a municipal system. Peel is not prepared to take responsibility for any system that it doesn't own or operating, including communal systems or private wells. Peel will not subsidize the creation of a regional municipal water system to facilitate development. Peel will only permit the extension of Peel water services into the zone that it is prepared for these services. Your area is not currently in the zone and won't be in the zone until there's a financial and servicing model that permits the extension of the system. This will be a very expensive project and will require the participation of a lot more lots and land area than is being proposed. With the full knowledge of this, the proponent is trying to get Peel and Caledon to change the policy to permit private wells, and this I will not support. There is no shortage of available land in the Palgrave Estate area that is within current Peel servicing area for development to serve the market. There is no current reason to expand the current service area to meet the market. We actually have more supply than the current 20-year planning horizon and beyond. So in summary, there's a lot more, but I'll just say in summary, I believe in the current policy and will not support it being changed. I will not support an official plan amendment that would allow the policy to change. And I'd just like to say how much we miss Richard Whitehead, who was a dear friend and a wonderful proponent for the residents of our community, and sorely missed. We loved our water guy. He was the defender of it, and we feel that we don't have that anymore.
Okay. Anybody else from the public? No further. Okay. So I'm now going to go to council. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The hydrological report, you said it was dated 2014. When was the actual work done?
May 27th and 28th, 2014, for the wells on the property, and June 24th and 25th, 2014, for the wells to the southeast.
And by which company? Can I ask that?
Terra Probe.
Sorry, I'm just writing this down. I've got a great memory here. For our staff, you mentioned securities, because I understand the residents' concerns about losing a well. What kind of securities are involved? How much money are we talking about that the region would hold back for a development of this size to guarantee, should something happen to people's wells, there is money there to be accessed? Do you have any idea, or do you have to get back to me?
Ms. Nordstrom.
Through you, Mayor Thompson, I'd have to get back to you. The Peel Region would typically provide draft plan conditions early in the process, but in this case, there's no a subdivision being proposed at this time. So I don't know, but I could get back to you with a comparison of other relatively sized
I think that would be a good thing for all of us to know. I'd appreciate that. Thank you.
Will do.
Councillor Ms. Pelly.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. There's been a sense in the audience that the fact that we're here today on the town's part is a support of what is here before us. And certainly when I read the report, I see a lot of concern in the engineering section. I note that they say they cannot support it. The fire emergency services say they will not support it without domestic water. So the question I want to ask staff is, there's nothing that precludes any applicant from making an application for an official plan amendment, which is what we're here for tonight. But that shouldn't be construed as support. They have that right. Would that be a fair statement?
Ms. Nordstrom.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Yes. Anybody has the right to make a planning application on their property, and under the Planning Act, we're required to take it through every step of the process, including a public meeting.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Councillor DeBoer.
Thanks. I want to start with thanking everybody for coming out tonight to listen to the two applications in our neighborhood. And I want to reiterate a couple of the points, and some of them was Rob just spoke to. And that is, Mary, we're here tonight to discuss solely the desire for the applicant to service this site with private wells and private septic, as opposed to what the official plan says, which is municipal water and private septic.
Hey, Mayor Thompson, that's correct.
Yeah. And from the same comment that you just had, anybody has the right to make an application, an official plan amendment. And we have to, as staff and as a corporation, town of Caledon, have to deal with this fully, because it's under the Planning Act and there's responsibilities that we have to do.
That's correct.
Okay, so that's all I have. I think we've heard from the residents, and I thank you for participating. I think on behalf of the applicant, I think you would think that he thanks you for coming out tonight as well.
Okay. I have no further questions. So again, I want to thank the public for coming out and having your say. And thank you, Mr. Kennedy, for your delegation. And I declare this meeting now closed.
No, I don't. I'm a lousy businessman. I never carry cards.
First name?
James. Jim.
Jim?